ever since Disney has bought Star Wars and Marvel, there have been questions from the fan community. What exactly is an Inhuman? How is it different than a mutant? What's the expanded universe? What language do Wookiees speak? Are Storm and Black Panther still married? The answer to all these questions and much more on WDWNT On The Air's new show, Nerd Alert, with your host, Joe Hogarty.
Welcome to episode 9 of WDWNT Nerd Alert. I'm your host, Joe Hogarty, and joining me are Patrick Hackett.
I can't believe what Philadelphia did to that robot.
And Ron Deanna.
I can, it's Philadelphia.
And how you guys been?
Oh, man, I've been great, Joe. How about you?
Doing pretty good.
I've been good here.
Well, Ron, out of all of us, is fortunately going to D23 next week. And, Ron, what do you expect from D23? What are you looking forward to, and what do you think is going to be announced?
Well, I'm pretty sure we're going to get... I mean, we're definitely going to get something about Force Awakens. I would put money on a new trailer.
Yeah.
I think it's time for a plot trailer at this point. We're going to be, almost exactly 4 months out at that point. It's time for the first full trailer, rather than the two teasers we've seen so far. I think we're going to get some info on what Rogue One actually is. I don't know how much more they're going to go into that, but we're going to get something on that. And I think we might even get an announcement as to what the rest of the anthology series they have planned right now is. Because we know we have the confirmed Han Solo movie, but you know, we might even get a few more details on what that's supposed to be.
Like an Obi-Wan movie?
Yeah, I think an Obi-Wan movie would be good, and I think we can if we're talk comics later, some of the Star Wars books are kind of getting into that territory now.
Okay, yeah, we'll try to.
And for the parks, I think Star Wars is going to be mentioned. I'm sure we're going to get something about a Star Wars land. I just don't know how much at this point. I think it's, yes, it's coming, might be all we get for Florida, except maybe, you know, that, what are they calling the thing that's going into Shanghai that we were pretty sure is going into Inventions at this point? The launch bay or something like that?
Mm-hmm.
Something along those lines.
I think that we're getting that. It might be all the hard notice, because that would fit really well into the likely closing One Man's Dream. Which I hope moves to Epcot or something, but...
Yeah, definitely.
You
know what I heard, too? I mean, this was something that I read, and it's a rumor. I don't know if you've heard about this. Possibly we might be getting the Indiana Jones roller coaster.
I hope not the roller coaster. That's not a good attraction at all. But the Indiana Jones ride... I doubt that's ever being replicated anywhere. That ride technology...
Yeah, that ride system.
...is a great ride system. It's probably second to none in its potential.
Is it similar to Dinosaur?
It is exactly Dinosaur.
Okay.
And that's one reason I don't think we'd get it, because the track layout is supposedly exactly the same, but it is also one of the hardest things to maintain. Those two rides are down, and Indy's down even more than Dinosaur. And they haven't redone it since Disney Sea, and that's now 14 years they haven't looked at that ride system again. And they've opened, you know, two other parks, counting Shanghai since then, where that would have been a good e-ticket. And I just think they're done with it. I don't even think they would have built it in Disney Sea if it wasn't for Oriental Land Company saying, no, we want this. I just don't see that happening. I can see an indie attraction coming, but I just don't think they'll do the Indiana Jones Adventure again. As much as I'm looking forward to riding it when I'm out there, it is a really, really great ride. It makes Dinosaur look like a, you know, C ticket at most.
They have to do something for Hollywood Studios. Something has to be done, mentioned. I mean, it has to come out. I don't care if it's just like you were saying, the 1,000-foot view of it. You need to say something about that park.
Right, and, you know, we're recording this the day after the whole there was another Twitter blow up about, oh, but the board rejected the first set of Star Wars plans. I heard that from Jim Hill 6 months ago, it seems like. You know, that's a rumor that's been out there for a long time. So maybe they fixed whatever problems there were. I mean, we also heard even longer ago that they had their plans. They went to the board. A couple of the board members and Imagineers went over and saw Diagon Alley after it opened and said, no, we need to redo it. So these stories of them saying Star Wars Land isn't ready have been around forever. I don't think we're going to get an exactly this, exactly that, exactly this. I don't think we're getting that anymore from Disney. I think they learned their lesson when they had to rearrange all the stuff from New Fantasyland. And I don't think they're going to, you know, people are saying there's no construction going on in the studios, but there is. There's a theater that's probably going to open sometime soon. There's demolition going on backstage when I saw it in April. I mean, not a lot, but I, you know, did tours back there and I saw, you know, a lot of construction equipment back in the old backlot area. There's a lot to demolish before they even start vertical construction. So saying there's nothing going on because you don't see it is really simplifying things. And these same people who are claiming that, you know, oh, Disney's not doing anything because they haven't announced it are the, you know, people who make fun of Universal for having Kong completely constructed as a building before they acknowledge its existence. So there's got to be some middle ground between the Avatar announcement, which was, oh, we're building Avatar, and the Imagineers find out about the same time as the public, and, you know, Universal's like, oh, yeah, it's opening next week.
Oh, that thing? Nothing's back there.
Yeah, I mean, I think that part of the issue that they're having is that some of the rides might be spoiler-heavy for The Force Awakens, so they might not reveal so much about it.
I didn't even think of that. That's actually a really good idea, because if you paid attention to all the chatter is that we're not getting anything based on the old trilogies. We're getting things new and up and coming. So, well, yeah, that's a great point, Joe.
And you know what? What do we have, another 4 years before the trilogy's finished?
Yeah.
And full construction for a full land, that makes, you know, if they want to open it, you know, the final stage of it, like they whatever ties into episode 9, they could open a day and date with the movie if they wanted to.
Could you imagine? What if they set it up so that you are opening attraction with each film that comes out? Not that they'll be able to have one by Christmas, but you know what I mean.
Yeah. They might have that launch bay thing ready by Christmas.
I know Iger said that he just wants to concentrate on the future of Star Wars, but I just find that hard to believe, too. I mean, that they wouldn't do something to incorporate the older movies, like even like a dark ride or something incorporating Yoda or something. But I guess we're just going to have to see. I mean, we're going to find out soon enough. It's what is it? Is it going to be Friday or Saturday?
It's Saturday afternoon.
All right, well, definitely looking forward to hearing about that. And
oh, and that doesn't even touch what they're going to do, you know, what we're thinking about they might do with Marvel. We know we're getting Civil War information. I don't think Disney's going to go. What's the other one that comes out next year? What's the fall release? I can't even remember.
Is it Guardians?
No, I don't think it's Guardians. I think it's Strange.
I don't know. Where's the calendar? We're bad nerds, man.
Yeah.
Well, they've changed these things a few times.
Well, they changed it because of Spider-Man. But actually, I think that the first three are still concrete, though. I mean, you know, Black Panther got moved. It could be Doctor Strange.
Yeah, and I think we're going to see something from Civil War, some footage, first teaser, maybe.
Yeah, I could see them doing a teaser.
You are correct. Doctor Strange is next.
Right, and supposedly he's going to appear. I mean, the rumor has he's going to make a cameo in Jessica Jones this fall.
Hmm.
Interesting. That would make a lot of sense.
As the Doctor before he's powered.
Yeah.
Which, you know, having someone called the Doctor and that with David Tennant as the bad guy.
Oh, stop mixing your fandoms.
Yeah, I was going to tell you, I was talking to a friend of mine who's a big Disney fan, and we were talking about the parks and Universal, too. Don't you think that Universal is going to ride this Jurassic World success and expand on Jurassic World in their parks?
I think whoever greenlit Kong is kicking themselves right now.
Oh, seriously. I mean, that to me is the biggest drop ball in history. I got into huge arguments. Listen, I am not anti-Universal. I like Universal. I think Disney's better, and that's my opinion. But you can't go and defend having an attraction for a movie that may bomb. Kong does not have the best box office record lately, and when you just had the biggest movie ever.
I was thinking, because they do have that a couple of Jurassic Park rides there in Universal.
They're awful. And one of them you can't ride unless you have a child with you.
But what I'm thinking, though, is that, again, like, they want to strike while the iron's hot. And Jurassic World is, like, number three now in the highest grossest movies ever. I mean, I just can see them expanding on that. It's like another Harry Potter for them, and they're already greenlit a sequel. So what my idea is, maybe they're going to expand and get rid of Marvel finally, because they need that real estate, and it's not too far away from where the old Jurassic Park rides are.
It's actually on the other side of the park. I could see them extending into getting rid of Toon Lagoon more.
That's what I was about to say. Toon Lagoon seems more in the way. That's a big stretch.
But isn't it? Isn't
front of the park?
Isn't it Jurassic World, Toon Lagoon, and then Marvel?
Marvel.
And
Marvel's right up front.
Other way around. It's Marvel, Toon Lagoon, then Jurassic Park.
Well, it depends on which way you're going. But.
Yeah, that's true. The logical way.
Yeah.
Just get rid of everything and make Jurassic World.
You could retheme Bluto to something, but why? I mean, why? How many, you know, Jurassic Park river rides do you need? And you could, I mean, Ripsaw Falls is redundant with Jurassic Park ride. I mean, it's just a way to get you wet, and Ripsaw Falls is awful.
Yeah. But they aren't they closing Dr. Doom or something like that? And
supposedly Hulk is getting repainted or something. It's going for some extended maintenance soon, and the rumor has it that Stormforce and Fearfall and Fantastic Four Cafe are going, which, good riddance to all three. I mean, the Doom is a bad drop tower with a great pre-show. That's the only thing going for it. It's got a hilarious pre-show video.
The good rides that they have there, they have the Spider-Man one, they have the Hulk, and do you think the Doom one is good?
Doom's no. Doom is only good for the pre-show.
For the pre-show.
And it's a bad drop tower. It's way in the... It's towards the back. You can expand out that way. Stormforce is an even more nauseating version of the teacups. And there's no point to that. And I remember there were... They used to have a haunted house. They used to... When they had Horror Nights back there, there was room for houses back there. So there is a footprint to do a nice ride in that area with that. And supposedly Universal is okay with getting rid of Fantastic Four because they don't seem to like Fox right now at the moment either.
Hmm.
Everybody should be getting rid of Fantastic Four.
And that kind of leads us into our next little topic. Do you guys like disaster movies?
Yeah, 2012 is awesome.
Yeah, because I think we might be having another disaster movie opening up this Friday.
I think you're missing a preposition as the disaster of a movie. Right now, as we do this, there are 5 reviews on Rotten Tomatoes with a 20% positive. And if you read that positive review, I don't know who thought it was positive. I don't think it calls it the worst movie ever, which some of the others seem to do.
Yeah, they said it's very cartoony.
it harkens back to what comic book movies used to be. And I think they're referencing the 1994 Corman Fantastic Four when they say that.
Honestly, this shares so much with the Corman Fantastic Four because it's made for the exact same reason.
There's been just no good news coming out of the way this movie is. And I will say, all the reviews say the cast is great, and I think it is a good cast. I don't know if they're right for all the parts, but they're all good actors.
Yeah, I mean, I read one review, and I think they said something like, it's like a 100-minute trailer for a movie that doesn't exist.
Yeah, it seems so much exposition trying to get that backstory in. When, you know, just have them getting in the stupid device or spaceship or whatever you're going to do to transform them and go.
There are a ton of negatives regarding this movie even before it came out, but here are like a couple I kind of jotted down. I mean, one thing that's a red flag is the reviews. Most of the reviews are coming out the day of release. The ones that we're reading on Rotten Tomatoes and Metacritic are people that broke the embargo, which is, we're grateful that they did it. Hopefully they don't get fined too heavily. But that's always a bad sign. When you have a movie coming out and you say the embargo lasts until the movie comes out, they don't have confidence in that movie.
Right, and the embargo, you know, when it's Variety and Hollywood Reporter breaking the embargo, you don't blacklist Variety and Hollywood Reporter you don't blacklist their press.
True.
So that's why they break the embargo, and then once that's done, it kind of lifts the embargo for everybody else.
They're trying to Shanghai people into seeing this movie.
Oh, yeah, I mean, like, all of these, like, reviews, like, when you see the trailers that are on TV, and, like, they show, like, all of these, like, really great reviews, best superhero movie ever, they shoot it by so fast, but you don't know who's actually saying it. I mean, it's probably someone that was, like, basically bought out to say it.
Not only that, it's like they'll take, like, this movie was far from fantastic. They'll put, this movie was ... fantastic.
Yeah. So another thing I found out recently is they were going to release this in 3D, and Fox decided to cancel it. This is another bad sign. They don't have confidence that they're going to make money off the 3D release, so they're just releasing it in 2D.
I'm okay with that. I don't like... I mean, I know it's done a lot better than it used to be, but I still, if a movie wasn't filmed in 3D, I don't care about, the up conversion doesn't really do it for me.
I mean, I don't know if this was filmed in 3D.
If it was, they would do it. It was the up conversion that they canceled.
Oh, really? So it would be a post conversion? I didn't know.
Right.
That.
I mean, if it's in 3D, you have it in the can, you can do it. If the up conversion is what's going to cost money.
I just thought that they felt that they weren't going to make any money off the 3D version because less people were going to go see it. So they figured they would just, if anyone was going to go see it, they were going to go see it at a cheaper price.
Right, I'm going to pay $10 for it, not $13.
Yeah. Another thing, it's about an hour and a half.
It's barely a full-length motion picture.
Yeah, it's not a good sign that they had to cut out so much. But again,
The biggest negative I've heard has been stuff about Trank himself. His hissy fits on the set. He lost a Star Wars movie because of this.
Yeah, he sounded like he had some kind of nervous breakdown on the set. Like he wasn't coming out of his trailer. He wasn't answering questions from the people working on the set. Didn't he like destroy a house that he was renting in Atlanta or something?
I mean, this has the same thing that's kind of making me nervous about the director choice for Spider-Man is these aren't people who've done tent poles before.
Ugh, I know, getting into that too. The writers for Spider-Man are the writers of the recent Vacation reboot movie.
Which I still want to see. I've heard it's not bad, but
I heard it isn't bad either. I mean, I know it's been getting a lot of bad reviews, but people say it's definitely got a lot of funny moments. But it still kind of frightens me. It's like that they would choose them to.
Yeah, write. But John Francis Daly is amazing. And honestly, if he wasn't too old at this point in time, he would have been the perfect Spider-Man.
Educate me. Who's
John Francis Daly, he is probably most famous for his role in Freaks and Geeks. He played Sam, the younger brother of the lead character, played by Linda Cardinale. And he is also very famous for his role on Bones. I do believe he has an Academy Award for adapted screenplay maybe recently. I will double check that in a second when I'm not speaking. But John Francis Daly, to me, just seems like the most logical choice if he was age-appropriate to play Spider-Man. He has that Peter Parker vibe to him. And I think if he's writing this, it's in good hands. The problem is with the director. People rave about Chronicle for Josh Trank, and it is literally one of the worst movies I've ever seen. I don't know what people see in it. It is one of the few movies I've ever bought sight unseen. I heard this is a good movie. I scooped it on Blu-ray. I watched it. I'm like offended at how bad it is, and people think it's great. I think the director is a big problem for the Spider-Man movie. I think the writers will be okay. I think that's a good person to have write it.
Getting to Chronicle, it was okay, but I didn't think it was as good as everybody said. I think it was very gimmicky, you know, what the whole... It was almost like found footage, except they were using iPhones, and I didn't even know if they had GoPros back then, but they were... It just was, very, like I said, very gimmicky.
Found footage is a subgenre that needs to die.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, the first couple things, he's like Blair Witch, really good use of it. I mean, it kind of invented it. And then they kind of reinvented it with Paranormal Activity, where it's, you know, someone had cameras set up everywhere so they could do this. But now every horror film is done as found footage.
And they did Cloverfield.
Yeah, Cloverfield, I did not hate as much as most people did. I thought the hype for it was too much, but I thought the movie itself wasn't bad. But it was also, of all the found footage things, it made me like, why are you still filming?
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, John Francis Daly has not won an Academy Award, nor has he been nominated. I'm an idiot.
Well, it was good wishful thinking.
Yeah. But, you know, he has written some things before. He wrote Horrible Bosses, The Incredible Burt Wonderstone, which has gotten great reviews. I've never seen it. Did some punch-up work in writing Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, Horrible Bosses 2. I mean... He gets the kind of humor that you're going to need to be successful with Spider-Man, that witty, sardonic kind of humor.
I hated Burt Wonderstone.
All right, well, I'm going to have to spend the next few episodes trying to talk you into him and being able to enjoy the new Spider-Man. I'm still irritated at the director, but...
It just makes no sense that he also got it by default.
Default.
Yeah, that's true. Default.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's... I don't know.
There is one good thing with Fantastic Four, Joe.
What?
The Deadpool trailer.
That's right. You led right into it.
Yeah.
Now there's going to be a couple of trailers. There's going to be a green Deadpool trailer and a red band trailer. And we're actually going to see the premiere of what? Is it the green one or the red one in Conan O'Brien tonight?
It's going to be I'm pretty sure it'll be the green one. The red one's going to have to be online.
All right, so the trailer that's going to be premiering on Conan O'Brien, is that also going to be the same one that's going to be on, I guess, before Fantastic Four?
They won't show a red band, not in front of a rated R.
Yeah, that's true. And, I just read today that Ryan Reynolds is apparently going to show up on Conan O'Brien dressed as Deadpool. By the time that this airs, it'll be history.
He is so perfect. I was explaining his prior role to my wife today. She doesn't remember all the X-Men movies, and she didn't know that there was a Deadpool character in a Wolverine movie. And have you guys seen the trailer?
Yeah. Yes, the trailer is amazing.
When he mentions that movie, it's like, for some reason, sewed my bleep mouth shut.
Yep, the Merc with a Mouth. And they sewed his mouth shut.
I mean, he got the joke out of it in the movie, but...
It definitely is perfect casting, and I think the one thing that people seem to like was Ryan Reynolds' performance in the first Wolverine movie. Not the Deadpool that they created that had...
But he was just Wade.
Yeah. And, you know, he was. He was great. I mean, he just has... He's great with comedy, and he's got perfect timing and all that. And even, like, everything that we've seen, like, with Mario Lopez and all that, he just does such a great job, and he understands the character. He has respect for the character. He wants to make sure that it's going to be as bad and nasty as that we're used to seeing. And I really appreciate that about him.
Making it rated R, I mean, I know we talked about this forever ago, but making it rated R was huge. Huge.
Yeah, and they tried to put pull a fast one on us by saying it was going to be PG-13.
That was brilliant.
Yeah, I give them credit for that one. That was an April Fool's joke.
I was very confused.
Was Siri confused too?
Yeah, apparently.
I can't think of anything else in the news right now.
Well, the other thing I could think of too is that Channing Tatum finally signed on for Gambit.
Yeah,
that whole he's in, he's out thing earlier this week.
Yeah, and he held on for the producer credit. Good for him. Am I the only one excited for a Gambit movie?
I never loved the character. I think he's good for it, but I think you need to do something to sell me on Gambit. I always thought he was one of the most overrated of the X-Men.
How dare you?
No, I like the character, but I...
Thank you.
I don't think that he should have a solo movie. I think he should be introduced in Age of Apocalypse. And if he comes off as a popular character, then give him a solo movie. I just think it's going to be hard for him to carry a solo movie, and they're probably going to throw in a lot of mutants in there, too.
I haven't seen him in a book in, like, 10 years.
Yeah, the last time I saw him in a comic book, it was MODOK shooting his head off, so...
Right, I think, like, he's only really best known for being that X-Men 92.
No, he was cool in the 90s. He was great in that Fox animated series that they had. And, it's kind of weird that they're giving him his own solo movie. Like you said, Ron, you haven't read anything about him in a long time.
And can you do him without having Rogue in the movie?
Yeah.
I think you might be able to. I know she's a large part of it, but I think you could do it.
Well, we'll see. They might even cast her.
I'm just such a ridiculous Gambit fan. It's hard for me to separate myself out of this.
No, I like Gambit. Like I said, I think he's a cool character and everything. I have the first issue he was in. And, but like Ron said, I mean, he just hasn't been anywhere recently. Anyway, let's be hopeful that that'll be another good movie, another good X-Men movie that Fox does. So we'll kind of like end it on this, and we'll go right into our main topic. And that is, we're going to all be talking about Ant-Man. Ron and I saw it opening weekend, and Patrick has seen it just yesterday. So since it's fresh in your mind, why don't you tell us, Patrick, what'd you think?
I was very, very surprised. If you remember, I think it was, what are we on, episode 9?
Yep.
Episode 7, I think I went off and said that this might be the first flop Marvel puts out. I was very concerned. I was worried about Edgar Wright, who has been working on this project for almost 9 years, that he was taken off. I was worried about Disney kind of flexing their muscles and Marvel flexing their muscles. But I enjoyed it. It is by no means a great motion picture. It's a mediocre comic book movie, but it may be the funniest of all the Marvel films, right behind Guardians. It's just a fun movie. It's a great way to spend some time in the theater. Really well acted. I am very impressed with how well everybody kind of came out for their performances of this. A lot of fun.
Yeah, I usually really want to punch Paul Rudd when I watch him on screen, and I really didn't have the urge to do it this time.
Yeah, he only Paul Rudds it up a little bit.
But as you said, like, you could definitely see Edgar Wright's influence on this film from the start to the finish. Even if he was taken off as director, they used a lot of his script, and you could see that feel of his comedy to it.
He seriously wanted to punch Paul Rudd in the face?
I don't like Paul Rudd. I just don't.
I always liked him. I think he's a likable guy in Anchorman and Knocked Up. And yeah, I know his movies are very similar, but he's a likable guy.
The smarm level is just overwhelming sometimes.
But you felt that he was a different character in this one.
Yeah, I have the same problem with Ben Stiller a lot. I don't like Ben Stiller in a lot of movies, but on the opposite side, when Ben Stiller's playing really dumb like Zoolander, I think it's great. When he's trying to be the everyman like in Meet the Parents, does not sit right with me.
Yeah.
Speaking of Zoolander, did anybody catch the Zoolander reference in Ant-Man?
Yeah.
It was amazing.
All right. No, I didn't. Tell me about it.
The what's Yellow Jacket's name?
Oh, the actual Darren
Cross? Not the actor. The character.
Darren Cross?
Darren Cross and his Cross Industries or Cross Technologies model is the model of the Zoolander school for kids who don't read well.
Oh, that's so awesome. I did
what
not catch that.
What is this, a school for ants?
Did you guys see the trailer for Zoolander?
I did not yet. I was actually going to fire it up after the episode.
Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah, I've been meaning to watch that, but I just haven't. But Zoolander, yeah. Well, why are we getting on Zoolander? Let's get back to Ant-Man.
Yeah.
Yeah, the movie in general, I liked almost everything about it. It was, you know, it's still on the bottom tier of my Marvel movies, I'll say. But it was still very enjoyable. It's probably ahead of Iron Man 2 and Thor 2.
Yep.
But it was a good origin. It was fun. You know, there are things that were a stretch even for Marvel at a time, like being a comic book movie, but the one thing I kind of don't get is Cross being so insane and so evil for weird reasons, it seems. I think they kind of tried to play it off as like, oh, he's been testing the particles, and if you don't have the helmet on, they rot your brain. Okay, I guess that's an explanation.
Yeah, it would have helped if he was in the suit or something like that, but I guess he couldn't be because they didn't have the answer on how to create the particles and all that. And everyone else should have been insane, too.
Yeah, it's absolutely a villain for no reason, and he's not really that much of a villain. That's one of my big knocks on it. It's been a knock on the Marvel movies for a long time going, is that they're not doing really well with their bad guys. And Cross is no different. Although he is very sinister and he's very evil, it's just there's no rhyme or reason behind it.
Right.
Like, his suddenly, like, just murdering people in the bathroom. Like, where did that, like, that was just like, look, he's evil. That's all you need to know.
Well, it could have been that, again, he was Hank Pym's protege, and he knew that Hank Pym had the answer that he needed, and Hank Pym just wouldn't give it to him, that it drove him slowly insane, knowing that it was so close to him, and that Pym was keeping it away. I mean, I don't know, I'm just saying, if he was working, if that was his life's ambition, to basically kind of mirror Pym's particles and all that, that's possible he just went a little nuts.
Yeah, and there's also a throwaway line in there, like, you know, Michael Douglas says he can't wear this suit again. And they don't kind of explain why. Is there a physical reason? Is he just so distraught over Wasp?
Well, I think he said there was a strain on him and that he really couldn't wear it anymore. So it probably does do something to the body or...
Well, they do say if he's not wearing the helmet, it does mess with your mind to keep going back and forth. But we had never seen Cross had shrunk himself when he's, you know,
yep. Yeah, you're right.
Murderous already. It just doesn't make sense.
I mean, one thing I'm going to defend him for, I thought he was a real bastard in this movie, and he played that well. And like I said, I think I told you guys, I think he would have been excellent as Lex Luthor.
Yeah, my my buddies who do another podcast called It's Not Casablanca said the exact same thing. He really would have been a great Luthor. He's very Luthor-esque in this role.
Yeah, I mean, he looks like him, and he's also, like, physically, he's kind of like a threat. I mean, not that anyone's really a threat for Superman, but he's just like a, you know, big guy. I mean, you can see him being very intimidating and, you know, just very sinister, like you said.
Yeah, I think he was a good villain in that sense. He definitely, you know, played the heavy very well. Just the motivations behind it were kind of weak. Like, just have him be part of Hydra. Mm. Why would it, like, I know, like, oh, we got overplaying it, but, you know, that's part of the mythos you're setting up, that Hydra was everywhere and kind of still is.
Yeah, I was going to say really quick, too. I mean, I really enjoyed the movie. It kind of surprised me. I never was a fan of Ant-Man in the comics. I just thought he was a lame character. Same thing with DC. They had the Atom and stuff like that. It's just the last person I would want to be is Ant-Man or the Atom or something like that.
If you give me a minute, I'm sure I can think of a character that'd be worse to be or make a movie out of.
All right, maybe I'm pushing it with the last
No,
part.
Just let me think about this. The first thing I went to is Glob Herman. He's in the Jean Grey School for Gifted Youngsters. But
I just got a book in my loot crate this month, Regrettable Superheroes, and it seems like these are the kind of characters that should be in there.
Yeah. My whole thing is that both Scott Lang and Hank Pym have some really, really dark sides to them. Scott Lang has been, aside from the jail stuff, there's other stuff in there. Again, keeping the show WWNC friendly. And then you have Hank Pym, who has had domestic violence issues, multiple personalities. It was, you know, they played it well. He feels responsibility for his wife's death. In some places, I think he causes it even more directly.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like in the movie, again, they completely ignored that whole aspect about the comic book character.
Yeah, that was always my question, like, why I was, when I first heard about this movie, and, like, are they going to use Pym? I mean, can you have, you know, can you promote a movie, even if you don't do it in the movie, where your main character's most notable trait is being a wife beater? So, going with Lang, who's a criminal, who in this they kind of, you know, I don't really remember his origin from the books too much because, you know, once again, he's not a big character. It was very Robin Hood-y as a criminal.
Yeah, exactly. So you wanted to root for him. I mean, he went for prison for doing a bad thing, but he had good intentions for what he was doing. And then that whole Baskin-Robbins thing was actually pretty funny.
The Baskin-Robbins was really funny. I enjoyed that thoroughly. And, oh, man, his buddy... telling the stories, Michael Pena.
Yeah, he was
incredible. Great. Also, T.I.? Like, where did T.I. come from?
Yeah, when he first came on the screen, my whole audience just, like, everyone kind of shifted and just, like, looked at each other. I thought that was kind of cool.
I had no idea he was in this movie, and he did a great job. I thought he was fantastic. Very well acted. You can see that, much like Tomorrowland that we talked about, there's kind of some third act issues here. It runs a little long at times. For a movie called Ant-Man, we don't spend a whole lot of time with Ant-Man. But yeah, I mean, Ron, you said it was towards the bottom. I'd say this is a middle of the pack MCU movie for me.
Yeah, I agree. I would say that someone asked me where I would rank it, and I said the middle. I would say, you know, it's enjoyable, like Thor and the first Captain America.
It might still be above both of the Thors. It's definitely above Iron Man 2, Thor 2.
Yeah.
I like both Cap movies more. Definitely, like, probably better than Hulk. But I kind of keep forgetting that's an MCU
Counts.
Film.
Yeah. both of the Hulks are in continuity, correct?
Yes and no. Second Hulk is definitely fully in continuity. First Hulk is semi in continuity with Second Hulk.
And since it's semi in continuity with Second Hulk, that means, I guess, it's part of the MCU as well.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
But yeah, like you guys said, I agree. I thought the acting was very well done. And part of me did feel bad for Peyton Reed, who took over the reins after Edgar Wright. I don't know if he was let go or if he left on his own accord or whatever. And I always felt that there was going to be a problem that if the movie is successful, people were going to say, well, it's because they kept most of Edgar Wright's stuff. And if it was a failure, they would have said, yeah, well, if Edgar Wright would have done this, it would have been a hell of a lot better. But I think he did a good job for what he had. And I know Edgar Wright wrote most of the screenplay and all that. But you definitely have to give some credit to Peyton Reed for, you know, that's a difficult task to come in and basically finish a movie that some guy, what was it, like 7 years that he was on board Edgar Wright?
Like, yeah, 9 years he's been working on this project.
Yeah,
has been there since the beginning of the MCU.
I will admit it. I did feel bad for the guy, and I wish he would have done it, but I still kind of, I appreciate what Peyton Reed did.
And I think what he may, now this is just me speculating, I'm not a Hollywood insider by any stretch of the imagination. My guess is what he had an issue with that caused him to walk was the sudden detour to, we're going spoilers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Movie's been out long enough, I think I'm the last person that needed to see it.
It's almost on video.
The sudden detour to go fight Falcon. I think, to me, that just, it doesn't fit in with the rest of the movie. You can tell by the colors, it's completely bright, where the rest of the movie's very dark, very dull. It just seems completely out there, and I'm wondering if that's what caused the walk. And you know what? It's one of the best parts of the movie.
Yeah, I mean, it was a really, really fun scene in the middle of it, and it's a good way to tie it in, you know, to the Avengers without having to have one of the A-listers really there. And it's someone he can fight and probably beat. Like, he's not going to beat Cap.
Yeah, I think I agree with Patrick that I wouldn't be surprised if that was it, because I did read in the past that was his problem, is that he didn't agree with the direction that Marvel wanted the movie to go to, and they basically wanted it to, for everything to be connected, and that probably was the bridge that was going to connect it to the Avengers and all that, and he probably had a big issue with that. I think he wanted it to be a standalone solo movie, and that's not what Marvel and Disney wanted. They wanted a new franchise, and they wanted him to show up in other movies, and he probably was upset that they were basically trying to take command of something that was really his baby. But yeah, like you said it too, I thought that fight was awesome. I thought it was really cool. There are some things that the Falcon did I didn't know he can do, like that he's got that scope that he was able to see Ant-Man like on the ground.
Don't worry, he can't see me. I can see you.
And couldn't he hear him too? Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah. Yeah,
I didn't think he could, too. I just thought that was a coincidence.
But no, that was a fun fight. I mean, I really liked that, like, where he'd be small, and then when he'd throw a punch, he would, like, get big, and then go into his wings and stuff like that. That was a lot of fun. I was pleasantly surprised with that.
I think another issue was, you know how we were talking about introducing Gambit in the bigger X-Men movies, is that Edgar Wright didn't want Ant-Man in anything until his standalone pick was done. And I think that probably also ruffled some feathers.
Mm-hmm.
Can I science nerd out here for a moment?
Sure, go ahead.
The explanation of how he shrinks and enlarges. First of all, it's the same thing that's used in Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. Where they just shrink the... But the same thing bothered me in Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. But it bothered me more than this because he retained like his human strength. if you're just taking the space between atoms away, you're not losing any mass. So he would be, you know, 180 pounds at an inch tall. And the other thing is, if he's just shrinking the space between atoms, how do you go subatomic? That whole thing just didn't sit right with me in that. I ignored it in the movie. I enjoyed it, but I needed to vent that a little bit.
Yeah, that part's a little too much thinking for me. The subatomic part.
That scene was unnecessary, and that was probably the thing I would cut out of the movie completely.
I started playing Journey into Inner Space in my head.
Miracles from Mars.
Yeah, I was like, this sounds awfully familiar.
Now, somebody was... I read, too, that there's an Easter egg in that scene, that somebody is in there if you look close enough. Did anybody spot anybody, or...?
I saw the enhanced image, and it looked like it was Janet.
So she's still alive?
She's definitely still alive. They haven't cast her, which is why the very heartwarming photo that Hank Pym has of his wife is her face completely covered.
How does she eat?
Well, if you're dealing on a quantum scale, time might not apply. You're dealing with the whole Heisenberg level of stuff at that point. So, she could appear in a box. She could appear outside the box.
I'm definitely glad you're here, Ron, to explain that. That was a good one.
I don't think time would apply at all at that scale is how they'll explain it.
And one thing I wanted to say that my favorite part, and I always tell people this, was how they de-aged Michael Douglas. He looked fantastic.
That was incredible.
It's incredible, yeah. I mean, I still can't believe it. And I think that's the one reason why I want to see Ant-Man again, is I want to see that scene.
They just took his years and threw him on Halle Atwell.
And so far, as of this recording, the movie's made... worldwide, $294 million, which is not bad for Ant-Man.
Not bad. That's fantastic.
Oh. For Ant-Man, I'll say it's fantastic for Ant-Man.
Yeah, it's a character that... When's the last time he's had his own series that's run for more than, a few issues?
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't pick him up.
I think the only one in the last decade might be part of Secret Wars, because that's got every book ever made is somehow tied into Secret Wars.
Mm-hmm. All right, let me ask you this. Do you think there's going to be a sequel?
I don't know if he's going to stand on his own for a sequel. I think it'll be a while before we see it, if we do. Obviously, it'll be a while because we're already 4 years down the line. We have the movies planned out.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to get an Ant-Man sequel, but I do believe we'll see more Ant-Man in the MCU.
Yeah, I don't think this merits a sequel. I mean, if it made about maybe $600 million or more, possibly... But I don't know if they're ready to just throw another sequel at him. He is going to be in Civil War. I'm sure he's going to be in Infinity War when that comes out. But I think he works good as a side character. And he'll probably kind of be something like Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch.
I mean, at this point, I think I'm in Civil War. They have so many characters in that movie.
I just heard that Mark Ruffalo was hanging out with the cast recently, so he might be in it.
Yeah, he was saying, oh, I don't know if I'm in it, they haven't asked me yet, and then, Downey Jr.'s interview, it's like, yeah, we were working with them the other day or something.
They should know if they want to keep something secret, don't tell Downey Jr.
The other one was that the Spider-Man is going to have a much bigger part than we thought in it.
Like, yeah, I read that too. That sounds pretty good.
That's picking up steam today.
Yeah, because they say he has a really good fight scene with something, somebody major.
A really ridiculous fight scene is what they said. It's like a, it's like, I'm not saying it's like the most knockdown, drag out, Ronda Rousey fight here. It's just going to be kind of ridiculous.
I kind of have a feeling it's going to be him and Iron Man.
I'm trying to think of who would be ridiculous for him to fight. Could be Black Widow.
I mean, something really ridiculous would be the Hulk.
I mean, there's a lot to do with Ant-Man. I think we got to get to the elephant in the room, and that's the shawarma scene.
Yeah, let's get right into that. There's two after-credit scenes. I guess we'll talk about the first one. You talk about it.
It was nothing we didn't see coming, honestly. That one was the most predictable scene ever, that Hope Van Dyne is going to be the new Wasp.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I think that's cool. I mean, her costume looks good. The only issue that I have is I wish she didn't have a mask, because, I mean, I'm used to Wasp not having a mask. I mean, it kind of gives her sex appeal and stuff like that, and covering up her face I just think is a kind of an injustice to the character.
They explained, you know, the technology doesn't work if you don't do that. You go crazy, so they have to.
I know that, but still, that's my only issue with it.
They'll find a way to, you know, make it maybe just like, and, you know, a 90s-style X-Men full face is open but still have the wraparound.
Mm-hmm.
Think like Gambit's, I don't want to call it a mask, but...
Headgear?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But seriously, I mean, most of these Marvel characters have their mask off for more than half of the movie. So we can see them emote their face. All right, so we'll go into the next one, and the next one was actually a scene right out of Civil War, apparently. And it had Steve Rogers, it had the Falcon, and it had Bucky back, or the Winter Soldier.
Right, and I couldn't hear it too well when I was in there, so they were trying to get him off the thing, and what I understood was like, why don't we ask Stark, and like, we could have done that a week ago. So...
Right, and after the Accord.
Yeah, so apparently, well, I think the issue too is, doesn't Stark know that the Winter Soldier tried to, or did assassinate his father? Wasn't that revealed in The Winter Soldier, or...
Don't remember that offhand.
Yeah, I don't think he can. Well, maybe he can, yeah. Yeah, I don't remember that offhand.
I mean, that could be part of the reason why he's keeping him away. But yeah, this whole Accord thing, yeah, we don't know what it is, but more than likely he's probably working with the government or S.H.I.E.L.D., and that's what's going to cause a civil war.
Well, so it seems like already happened. Go ahead, Ron, I'm sorry.
Yeah, the rift has already happened. The inciting incident of what actually, you know, puts everything into motion hasn't yet, and I wonder if that's even going to be the cold open for the movie.
Well, if you paid attention, there was the headline in the newspaper as Ant-Man ran across it, "Who's to blame for Sokovia?"
Yep.
So right.
That could be the catalyst there.
I think there has to be more of the civil war of these people are... it's not the Avengers' fault, it's the little ones that they're worried about. And, you know, that could come out of... You know, that could even Jessica Jones and... Or S.H.I.E.L.D. could, you know, play into that. But... Because when is Cap is due out in May?
Yeah.
So they could, I mean, depends. They might have S.H.I.E.L.D. wrapped by that point for the season. So we don't...
Well, you had the Rampage of the Hulk, too, with the Hulk Buster. And I'm sure that didn't sit favorably with the public.
Right. I mean, is it just going to be a registration? Or is it going to be something more? I don't see Tony going for something more. So that's why I think it, you know, like, he's always been very open about who he is. in these movies. So I could, that definitely plays into the character a lot more than it does the book's version of the character.
Well, you know what bothers me, though, is the two major movies that are coming out next year, the Civil War and Batman v Superman. They both have to deal with like how the public views the superheroes as whether they're actually our allies or our enemies, or if they're too powerful. That's the one thing I don't like, and I don't know which one ripped off who. I mean, I have a feeling that DC kind of, because Civil War basically was that in the comics, that the public had a problem with trust regarding the superheroes, and now it looks like Batman v Superman is going to take that further due to the destruction that Superman caused in Man of Steel, where the public doesn't trust Superman, and it seems like a lot of them want him either dead or imprisoned or something like that. And I just think that it's too similar in a way.
That's something they've both been playing up very much since, for about 10 years or so. So in that kind of post 9/11 mindset, they've been playing that up since, you know, Civil War was a few years after that. And, the whole, you know, final, Infinite Crisis and all that, they kind of play into this whole thing. I think it goes into Identity Crisis with DC, is do the superheroes trust each other? Can the people trust them? Do they have the human flaws?
I think that we're taking a much more real world approach of things in the Marvel Universe. I mean, as we usually do, you know, it takes place in more reality than DC does. And I think this is what you would deal with if, you know, you ever actually had a big team of mass vigilantes, you know, going around.
Right, but the thing with, like, with the Registration Act for the Avengers, everybody knows who every one of those people is so far.
Yeah.
So that doesn't make any sense. There's got to be something more going on that we're going to have to see, as I said, through this set of S.H.I.E.L.D. And I think that's kind of where it pointed at with, you know, all the enhanced being the issue at the end of the last season. So, who knows?
Well, it could be, you know, the registration where you have to be an official member of S.H.I.E.L.D. or the government or something like that, and we have to be in touch with you constantly. We have to know exactly where you are, every step that you make, and some people could be against that. And I think that part of the problem in the comics is that a lot of people were mostly scared of the ramifications that would happen to their family and their loved ones.
Right.
And maybe that'll carry through. I mean, the one person that we can say that people don't know the identity that's going to be in Civil War is Spider-Man so far.
Do people know Lang's identity? Hydra does, because Yellow Jacket mentions it in front of Hydra. So I guess if they know that, that's dangerous.
I mean, Black Widow and Hawkeye's identities are probably not known, but Hawkeye, they don't wear masks, but they don't really have real lives. That's why Hawkeye's, you know, family's hidden. So, like, that doesn't matter. Do people know Banner's the Hulk? That's the only big question.
Yeah, I mean, S.H.I.E.L.D. knows it, but yeah, does the public know it? And should the public know it? I mean, maybe that's it, too. Well, again, everyone knows that Tony Stark is Iron Man, and I guess it's common knowledge that Steve Rogers is Captain America.
And Thor has no identity.
Yeah, right. He's not Donald Blake or anything
like that.
No,
he's an actual god. And Ultron's a robot, so it doesn't really matter. Not Ultron, Vision.
Yeah, Vision doesn't matter. Yeah, it's going to be difficult. They're definitely going to have to rework the script somehow in order draw the line in the sand between the two sides.
By the way, I want to go back to the first scene, and you said that it was supposed to be Janet off in the distance. Everything I've read is supposed to be Eternity off in the distance, who's one of the cosmic beings more powerful than Thanos, and could possibly connect Ant-Man to Doctor Strange.
I heard that, then I saw the same. I heard it could be either Janet or
Eternity.
Or Eternity, but then I saw somebody like enhance the thing and it looked the outline looked like the wings were there and things like that.
I've been looking for that image this whole time we've been talking, so I've been trying to find that out.
Yeah, I was going to say, I heard both. I heard that it could possibly be Eternity, or it could possibly be Janet. So I guess eventually we'll know for sure. I'm sure someone is going to, probably the director will come out and tell us, but it could be either or. But according to Ron, you're saying that you're pretty sure that it's Janet.
Yeah, somebody did like the side-by-side analysis of like the real shot.
I saw the side-by-side, and I'm not buying it.
Eternity's just, he's going to be an issue in Infinity War, but he is such an esoteric leak. He is the universe, so it's really weird of a character to put into this. I don't know.
It's an Easter egg. Yeah. I want an Easter egg.
I mean, it was chock full of Easter eggs. I'm very sad that they didn't throw, like, Edgar Wright one more shout out. It would have been nice to see, like, Simon Pegg in the background somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
Or what are those snacks that they eat in the trilogy? The Coronados?
Mm-hmm.
If somebody was eating one of those. But, I mean, all in all, there's worse ways to waste, you know, $15. I enjoyed it. I think it moved the plot along. Joe, I finally remembered what I wanted to say. I'm going to go back to something that you said last episode, where you're upset about Civil War being this huge scoping event and it only getting one movie. And I feel like totally in agreement with you right now, because it just seems like we're rushing into it. Something has happened none of us have seen, and it has changed a complete dynamic. We saw the divide at the end of Ultron. However, we've progressed since then that, quote-unquote, a week ago, it would have been okay for Cap and Falcon to talk to Tony. But now it's not, and then we have this accord, which I'm sure is a registration act. So it's very interesting. I wonder if it's just going to be the backlash like we were talking about with Sokovia, if it's going to be the Hulkbuster fight, or if it's going to be something else. I mean, we're not going to have Speedball blowing up a school. It's just,
I was going to say, is it? I mean, even if it's not Speedball, like, I don't think you can do this school thing at all.
No, definitely not. It is not possible.
I think, all right, here's where the problem starts. With Age of Ultron, Tony and Steve should not have hugged it out at the very end. There should have been some sort of conflict.
Well, there definitely was.
I didn't see it that much. That's the problem. Like, there's a bigger gap here to me.
No, they left friends, and I think that Steve should have at the very least blamed Tony for Ultron and, you know, trying to police the world by creating those Iron Man robots, whatever they were called.
I think he is. I think you guys are reading way more into it, either that or I'm reading way more into it.
I don't know. I think that they should have just, I just felt that they left on good terms. And
but
I think
everybody went their separate ways.
They did. But I just think that it could have set up, because now we're going to have at least 10 to 15 minutes or even longer trying to build friction up between Steve and Tony that we could have addressed at the end of Age of Ultron. I just think that would have helped. Another thing, too, is that, and I think Taylor had mentioned this, like I said, it should be two movies. And I think what they should have called it was Captain America Civil War, and then the second movie should be Iron Man Civil War. You know, and that would have been perfect, because those are the main combatants. But in reality, they should have just called it Avengers Civil War. I don't know why they had to make Captain America 3 Civil War.
I think that points to more credence is he's dead.
Or he will be at the end.
Yeah, I think that points to more of why it's a Captain America movie is because he doesn't make it out of it.
I could absolutely see that.
Yeah, I think that's almost a definite. And I also think that, again, who's the actor that portrays the Winter Soldier?
He's got several movies in the contract.
Yeah, he's got like a nine picture deal or something like that. You know he's going to be Captain America at some point. But I also think that, again, with the Infinity War coming up, more than likely, and again, this isn't really spoilers, this is a speculation on our part, more than likely Captain America is going to die at the end of Civil War. And when Infinity War starts, there's going to be no Captain America there. But he'll be resurrected in Infinity War Part 2, probably through one of the Infinity Stones.
I don't know. And I think Thor's done with Ragnarok.
Yeah, I mean, again, that's what I've heard.
Ragnarok, I mean, that's of the gods.
I mean, if they were smart, I think what they're trying to do, again, is they're trying to bring in a new team of Avengers led by Spider-Man, Ant-Man.
It's the Avengers Mark II with Vision and...
Yeah, Vision and Black Widow and...
Squirrel Girl.
Wonder Man. Bring in Wonder Man.
No Wonder Man ever.
Why? What's wrong with Wonder Man?
So much is wrong with Wonder Man.
He sounds too much like Wonder Woman.
Wonder Man is like Johnny Cage in the MCU.
But he does, you know, he ends up being a villain, he ends up dying, he's got stuff he can do.
Ron, everyone does that. I mean, it's comic books. Everyone ends up a villain and everyone ends up dying. I really think we might be headed towards, with the two Avenger movies, dealing with East Coast and West Coast Avengers.
Yeah, they're going to have to do it, because I was talking to my friend the other day, and I think the biggest problem with Avengers Age of Ultron, and there were 11 Avengers in that movie, and you didn't need them. You needed four. You needed the Hulk, you needed Iron Man, you needed Captain America, and Thor. And you could have had probably a better movie. Less is more.
I don't know. I thought the other characters were better in the movie.
Me too.
Well, I don't know. I just feel like Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver.
Oh, I'm talking about... I thought that ScarJo and...
Renner?
Hawkeye really stole the show.
They were a little fleshed out, but... Like I said originally, I just didn't like that whole romance between Bruce Banner and Scarlett Johansson. I think that could have been dropped. I did like Vision, though. I mean, I thought he was really cool.
I enjoy Vision. Vision is my favorite character. I think Vision just became the first character that I now own two pop vinyls. Oh, no, I have like three Baymaxes. I have two Vision pop vinyls. Very excited about them.
What's the difference between the two?
I have one that's full Vision, and I have one that is Vision partially phasing, so he's, like, going clear.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's pretty sweet, man.
So let me guess, you have White Baymax, Red Baymax, and Fabrication?
Green. I don't have the Fabrication. I only have two Baymaxes, so yeah, I'm tied for two. It took me a minute to figure that out.
No, wasn't there the Green Baymax, like, when he first got his fursuit?
I haven't seen a pop for that.
I haven't seen him. Yeah, I think that was blue.
I thought it was gray, but I'm colorblind, so...
You think everything's gray. You're like Doug at the end of Up. Gray one.
I'm looking at the Baymax pop, and have you ever seen Princess Mononoke?
Yeah, yeah.
The white Baymax pop looks like one of the little creatures from that.
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about.
bringing it back. Joe... I know this has been a problem of yours and how many characters you're going to have to bring up, but doesn't this make S.H.I.E.L.D. and Agent Carter and Daredevil and Jessica Jones super important right now with who they introduce?
Like I said in the past, I'm not a huge fan of the S.H.I.E.L.D. show, but I am looking forward to Daredevil and the characters that they bring in there. And all of the Netflix characters that they spin off, like The Punisher, Iron Fist, Luke Cage. Yeah, I would love to see them come into play into Infinity War. But, yeah, you better just bring the best characters in. I don't want to see any crappy characters that should not require screen time. But I would like to see The Punisher in Civil War. I'm still hopeful. I don't know if you guys saw that article that I wrote, the mashup, where Tom Holland met the guy who's playing the Punisher recently. And I'm just hopeful that maybe he's going to be in Civil War, because he does play a pretty decent role in the comic.
He's a very interesting person to put in Civil War. Punisher's a very interesting character to see where they're going to go with him in general. Iron Fist and Luke Cage, I honestly kept looking in the prison scene with Scott Lang for, like, Luke Cage. I'm like,
that was a good idea.
Luke Cage, you around here? I'm like, oh, he punched that guy. He didn't bleed, Luke Cage.
I was actually reading Civil War recently, and Punisher's got a good role in that. And what I liked about it is that, when he meets Captain America at one point, and it's basically revealed, I mean, he killed some of the villains on Tony's side, and Captain America is just pissed off at him and just starts wailing on him. And I think he says something like, he says, well, why don't you fight back? You know, why don't you hit me? And he says something like, I can fight back, but I won't fight you. And I thought that was a great line. Something like that. He has so much respect for Captain America that he just will stand there and take it. And I'd love to see something like that in Civil War. The problem is that Punisher isn't built up enough. Maybe he will be built up.
Maybe he will be. I mean, we still have a while till Civil War. I know it's very close to being in the can, but there's still a while, and there's always reshoots. So, you never know what's going to happen. But you just brought up an excellent point, and I know we're running long, but is Tony going to take the path that he did in Civil War? And are we going to see Tony, what was his bad guy team called?
I don't know.
I haven't read this in 10 years.
He put together a team of villains, right?
Yeah, there were a lot of villains on that team, too. But, I mean, there were heroes and villains on that team.
Yeah. But I know Tony put together a team of villains, and that would be very interesting to see. I'm excited for this. I don't understand how you can say this ridiculous Batman-Superman movie, you're looking forward to it more. This, to me, I mean, this is the end of MCU Phase 2, right? Is Cap?
No, I think Cap's into Phase 3.
Yeah, that's the start of Phase
3. Are we done with Phase 2? Was Ultron, this was the first Phase 3 film?
No, I think Ant-Man was still technically Phase 2.
Yeah, you're correct.
It's still Phase 2.
Yeah.
So when we go, what do we determine is next is Civil War, and then Doctor Strange. We're in Phase 3.
And Spidey.
And Spidey.
Then Thor, Panther.
Captain Marvel.
Is Marvel before or after the first Infinity? Like, are the Infinity Wars back-to-back? Is there a break? I can't remember this anymore.
Yeah. They are back-to-back, but there could be a movie in between.
Right, I think it's like Infinity War Part 1, Inhumans, Infinity War Part 2.
But I swear that, and again, I know we're running long here, and we'll cut this pretty soon. But again, I was talking to someone about it. I'm worried about Phase 3. I mean, the Avengers, it seems okay. But you look at what else is coming out. I mean, you have Doctor Strange. That's risky. Black Panther is risky. Captain Marvel is risky. Inhumans is risky. Everything
Inhumans
that
Inhumans is the most risky, but they are hoping to get a lot of the Inhuman stuff built up during S.H.I.E.L.D. and hopefully have an established audience. But I think you're missing one thing with Doctor Strange is you're tapping into those BBC fans, the Sherlock fans, the Doctor Who fans. I think that's going to help Doctor Strange a lot.
No, I agree with you there. I'm just worried about the characters. They're not like what we are used to, like Captain America, Thor. And I think with the success of Guardians of the Galaxy, I think that Marvel and Disney feel that they can do no wrong. And they were very fortunate with Ant-Man, because Ant-Man was a good movie. I mean, and it is making decent money. It's made like almost $300 million so far. So, but there's going to come a point when...
I'm not too worried about Panther. I think Panther's a straightforward enough character that'll translate well. And how they do Captain Marvel, her powers are pretty, straightforward superhero. I think Strange and Inhumans are definitely going to be hard to translate to the screen. But if they play the Inhumans like they are kind of as like the MCU's version of the X-Men, it doesn't have the name characters, but you could use that whole kind of backstory to bring them in there, even though they already have the Kree and all that.
Yeah, Captain Marvel is supposed to be introduced in Age of Ultron. And they cut her scene out, and they replaced it with War Machine.
I think, and not to play to the lowest common denominator, but I think with Captain Marvel and Black Panther, you have the novelty of it. The first major black superhero and the first major female superhero. I think that's going to carry people a lot of way. There's going to be a lot of curiosity. There's also going to be a lot of little girls who want to go and see themselves on the screen. And I think Carol Danvers is a fantastic role model. And I really hope they knock it out of the park. Same thing with Black Panther. Black Panther is one of my favorite characters, and I think he's really underrated because he's just so regal and royal, but he's also such a badass.
Yeah, no, I mean, I am looking forward to the movies. I'm just saying, how's the public going to view this? And they better be really, really good movies and hit them out of the park. Like, but they do have a good track record, and and we're lucky that we have Marvel writers on board and that Marvel's looking how they treat the characters properly and they give them respect, unlike what Sony has done in the past and what Fox has done.
Oh, Fox. Really worried, although that Deadpool sure looks good.
Yeah, that does. I think that's going to be...
They understand X-Men. They just don't understand Fantastic Four.
Or color schemes. Purple, purple, purple.
All right, so this is going to be the end of episode 9. And so, guys, can you let the public know where could everybody find us?
You can find us tweeting at NerdAlertPod. We haven't been using it too much still. I am going to be using that at Expo a lot, and I will be also tweeting from at Greasy's Butler there, and that's where I tweet from normally.
You can find me at HackLaSal. Caution, I use potty language sometimes. You can also email us at nerdalertpod@gmail.com.
And with that, this will be the end of episode 9, and we want to thank you for joining us and hope you guys will join us next time too. Later.
Stay nerdy.